Chop, the original Guillotine League podcast. Everything you need to know to avoid the chopping block. Chop is brought to you by GuillotineLeagues.com. Now, your hosts, Paul Charchian and Brian Johnson.
Welcome to the Chop Podcast. I'm Paul Charchian, the second to last Chop Podcast of the season. Unbelievable that we're at this stage already. My co-host, Brian Johnson. Hello, hello.
Hey, Charge. On the road one more time. I'll be back next week, though.
For the big finale. In-person
finale. Yeah, I'm in Charlotte right now. They're looking for a head coach. You've probably heard a lot of steam about maybe Brian Johnson.
I have, yeah.
Picking the Eagles offensive coordinator.
It's funny.
It's just me. I don't even know if I want the job.
You might not, but you've got an owner who's willing to walk away from $30 and $40 million guaranteed contracts. That's a pretty good gig.
Yeah, he's not a popular guy around here from the few people I've interacted with.
Oh, for sure not. How about I heard this
sad town in Charlotte when it comes to the football team. Pretty brutal.
In the time that Kevin O'Connell has been here in Minnesota, the Panthers, when they kick off Sunday, will be on their fifth head coach. And wow, Kevin O'Connell's really? A new coach.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a badly owned organization. I don't know about the people in the front office as much, but they may be laboring under that owner as well.
I heard the interim head coach is the special teams coordinator. I don't know if I recall a team going that far down the pecking order to name interim head coach.
Yeah, maybe not. And you don't get that very often. John Harbaugh is the most successful special teams coordinator to become head coach that I know.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. That worked out very well, obviously.
Yeah, it did.
Let's dive in on this very important, they're all important, right? You're still alive. Congratulations. That's great. We have, and we're explaining this every week just so it's extra clear. And for people that don't necessarily listen to every bit of every podcast, the way that waivers are going to work from the conclusion of week 14 and every week thereafter. So the players that end up getting chopped in week 14 and every week thereafter, those players are locked down, but you can continue bidding on everybody else. So waivers run all year round, all the way to the end of the year, but the players chopped from week 14, week 15, week 16 will not be available in free agency.
Yep. And another way to put it is this week and next week are the last weeks to bid on anyone available.
That's right. Two more weeks of full bidding on chopped players. So this week and next week, so we're pushing in our money pretty much now at this point.
But unlike years past, you don't want to go all in.
Correct.
By week 14, you still want to save a few bucks so you have the ability to have first dibs on whatever free agents are still available in weeks 15, 16, and 17.
That's my opinion. No, I agree.
If you want to get a guy, you go all in, but you don't have to like you did in years past.
Look at the situation with Jonathan Taylor. Right now, Zach Moss is going to be a primo pickup who's worthy of a lot more than like a dollar or just hoping he's, gets to you at first come, first serve. So I do recommend warehousing a few extra dollars at the end.
Yeah, for sure.
It's bipocalypse too, Brian. Baltimore, Buffalo, Chicago, Las Vegas, Minnesota, Giants all off this week. We had talked about this big looming week 13. It was going to be tough. There are going to be a lot of teams that have compiled rosters, maybe not paying that close attention to the fact that it's week 13, or even purposely trying to get players throughout the year that were on week 13 because it was so late from now. This is going to be a fascinating one to find out how deep your roster really is. Can you pivot to meaningful guys? Some good teams might get chopped here, Brian.
Yeah, for sure. This is the last big test for a lot of managers out there. There are two teams on bye next week, Arizona and Washington. But yeah, bipocalypse too. I've dubbed it now buy harder.
That's really good.
Big diehard guy, especially this Christmas time of year.
Absolutely. 100% Christmas movie for sure. So I think, again, we're looking at similar strategies to what we've talked about. Find cheap bye week players who can help you get through this week. And, not bye week players. Find cheap players who can help you get through this week's bye or you're going to be bidding on expensive players that are part of your endgame strategy. And I think you'll see that reflected, at least in my bidding approach, when we talk about our 10 most chopped players a little later in the show. And also, by the way, now's not a bad time to get your backup tight end squared away. And I was thinking about this. Now that waivers are available all year round, I don't think you need to make a move on quarterback because there's plenty of viable quarterbacks you're going to be able to get off the waiver wire down the stretch. Not so much tight end, Brian, you know, where there's still – it's a better year for tight ends than we thought it was going to be, but I still think you want to have two plausible ones just in case.
In a bit of a teaser, there's a pretty big-name tight end in our top 10, but I have an interesting take on him and strategy.
Ooh, okay.
It might involve a sabotage drop, we'll get there
okay.
in a little bit.
Look forward to that. Two tiers of guys, as I mentioned, these low-end guys. I think you're bidding in the $1, $2, $3 range at this point. I'm not even talking about any more. $5, $6, $7, $8, Brian. People are so tapped out on money. And every dollar means so much that I think now we're talking about $1, $2, $3 players. Jordan Love, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Curtis Samuel, Jaden Reed, Pat Freiermuth, Isaiah Likely, Juwan Johnson maybe. And I'm going to hit you with all those names at the end of the show and see if you think they're worth a roster spot and a couple of bucks. But then also, the other big thing I'm doing, it's handcuff season officially. This Jonathan Taylor move, if you weren't already on this, it's time to start backing up your studs with backup runners where if the starter went down, you would start that guy.
Yep.
Elijah Mitchell, Rico Dowdle, Tajay Spears, Jeff Wilson, Royce Freeman, maybe Ezekiel Elliott. They're running the ball so much better there, and Ramondre's been really good. Three straight solid games for him. So all those guys are $1 guys that you can go pick up. Solidify your backups. I'm doing it, Brian. I think it's the best play because, you know, if anything happens to Christian McCaffrey, I don't think you're going to get anybody better than Elijah Mitchell.
No, I agree. Yeah, get anyone who, if someone happens to the starter, they have value. Even if you're not, you know, they're not an auto smash start, you want them on your roster as an option.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about Zach Moss specifically for a minute. Like we don't, as we're taping right now, Tuesday afternoon, we don't know the status on Jonathan Taylor. All we know is this murky thumb injury that appears to be something that could threaten, it sounds like, the rest of his season, but we don't know. We don't have a lot of data on it. What are you doing with Zach Moss?
As of right now, I feel like we're going back to, the Jonathan Taylor holdout / injured reserve stint, whatever you wanted to call it. I mean, seems like we're headed back to those days, which were, they were pretty good days for Zach Moss
they
and
were.
His manager. So
yeah,
Zach Moss, if Taylor is really going to miss extended time or the rest of the regular season, or at least the next few weeks, Zach Moss, without the schedule in front of me, he's a top 12 running back option without a doubt.
Yeah, it's going to be close because what we saw from Zach Moss before when Taylor was out was a humongous workload, and there's only a handful of workhorse backs out there. He's one of them. So if I put a dollar amount on Zach Moss at this stage, $25, $30?
At least. The amount would be pushing some of the running backs we're going to get to a little later, big name running backs. He's right in that mix. If Taylor really is going to be sidelined for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
And it looks that way. It looks that way. So that's one tier that we're talking about. The other tier, of course, are your end game tier guys. These are the players you want to have on your roster to finish out the year. And you're going to have to pay up on, you're paying now. Now's the time. The only question I think is you have to look, Brian, at your roster and go, okay, how many roster spots am I away from winning this thing? Do I have a team that's got, that is just, oh, it's like one player away that I can push in all my chips? Or do I still have two or three spots I got to figure out? Then you can't push in all your chips, right?
No, yeah, you at least want to look at your starting lineup and it's just loaded with studs, and you want to bounce it off their opponents too in week 16 and 17. But if you're not even close to that, you still gotta you can't push all your chips in or even 90% of your stack in at this point. You still got to just add one guy at a time, add some free agents off FCFS, and just hope to survive another couple weeks before you can really go all out.
Yep. The free agent players that are available now, unbelievable. You know, with the start of the season, you're like, oh, man, that's so awesome. I got Christian Kirk in the fifth round. I can't believe it. That guy's going to power me. Now Christian Kirk's just free agent. Nobody even wants him anymore. So it's you can get viable starters, but that's not the guys that are likely to power you through the entire rest of the season. You're still trying to find those elite players. So let's go to our 10 most chopped players, Brian. Odds are a couple of these guys available on your league's waiver wire because these are all massive underperformers for this week. And we begin with a guy whose name has popped up a few times at number 10, Cincinnati wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase. The upcoming schedule, and this was predictable with Joe Burrow's injury, the upcoming schedule is at Jacksonville, Indianapolis, and Minnesota. Those are relatively neutral matchups. The median winning bid last week nosedived down to just $31 on Ja'Marr Chase. What are you putting on him?
Yeah, last week he was on this show. Even though he had scored a touchdown the prior week, he only had two catches. And we're saying obvious downgraded quarterback from Burrow to Browning. But if Browning peppers him with targets, he might be okay. Well, Chase led the team in targets, at least among wide receivers, but only was six.
Yeah.
So, and he caught four for 81 yards, which really, that's not an awful line. But if you watch the game, like two of those catches were like batted balls that weren't even intended for him. So you can't get too encouraged by that line. But at least Browning wasn't like, looking at Eosivis or Trenton Irwin, someone, you know, from the JV squad that he's used to practicing with. He was still looking at Chase the most. And I think he'll continue to do that. Chase might not be part of your end game strategy, not a smash auto start, but still a guy I want. So I'm going to come in just a little bit under last week's median of 31. I'm at 22 on Chase. I still want him on my team.
I'm at $1 I'm not starting Ja'Marr. I'm not putting my team in the hands of Jake Browning. That's it. I'll take him at a buck. I'll take Ja'Marr Chase. And if, God forbid, something happens to my other four or five wide receivers on my team, I guess I could start him, but I'm not paying for him at this stage.
Sixth easiest remaining strength of schedule. You said they're neutral. I don't know. Yeah, I probably should have come down from the 22, but I'll stick with it.
That's part of the beauty of us doing basically an on-air blind bid, right? Is, you know, there's going to be disagreements, and, you know, this gives people a span of possible outcomes.
We also convince each other at times too.
And that happens. That happens. I'm like, Jake Browning. I don't think I could win with Jake Browning throwing the ball to my receiver. The ninth most chopped player, Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua. Thought he might be okay here. Boy, check out this schedule. And we talked about this a little bit last week when the Rams popped up last week too. Cleveland, Baltimore, brutal. Not startable the next 2 weeks, in my opinion. But then gets Washington, so there's that on the horizon. Median winning bid last week was $18. What are you doing on Puka Nacua?
Yeah, you can't really – it's so tough to gauge what to do with Nacua with Cooper Kupp in the lineup. I thought that Kupp was going to be more of a decoy last week against Arizona, but Puka just four catches for 27 yards. Saw eight targets, not bad, but the Rams also rolled the Cardinals in that game. It wasn't very close, so they didn't really throw a ton. But like you said, two tough matchups where he's borderline your second flex option.
Right.
But probably more like a bench play. I still want him on roster for that Washington game. If something were to happen to Cooper Kupp, we might go back to those first 4 weeks where Nacua was top five wide receiver. So I'm right around where I was at Chase. I'm at $21 on Puka.
All right. So you're going over the median winning bid last week. I'm looking at Cleveland, Baltimore going, no chance. I'm playing him against Cleveland or Baltimore for the next 2 weeks, and I don't need anybody on my roster for that. $1, Puka Nacua for me.
You're penny pinching this week. I like it.
The eighth most chop player, Chargers running back Austin Eckler. You want to guess how many times he's been on? We've done this show now, so this is week. We're heading to week 13, so we've done 12 of these shows after a game has been played. Out of the 12, you know how many times we've had Austin Eckler as one of the 10 most chopped players?
Let's see. A couple times were probably because of injury, but hey, that happens. So that those count. I'm going to go with five.
That's right. Five. And one time, wow. By the way, he was the 12th most chopped player. So we didn't quite get to him. So it's like five and a half. Nearly half of our shows, Austin Eckler has been one of the 10 most chopped players. He's one of the biggest Guillotine League assassins of this season. His upcoming schedule, not favorable in this coming week. At New England, the one thing they've been good at all year is a run defense. Then he's Denver. That is favorable. Then at Las Vegas, favorable. The median winning bid last week on Austin Eckler, it was $87. Some people were paying 10 times that for Austin Eckler at the beginning of the year. The recommended bid is what? What have you got on Austin Eckler here?
Yeah, it's scary. It looks like he's slowing down big time, averaging less than 80 combo yards over his last four games, Austin Eckler is. And, I do not like the matchup this week against New England, but it does soften up. Like you said, beyond that game, Fantasy Pros has Eckler with the easiest remaining strength of schedule among running backs. But there's that big road bump, speed bump or whatever this week in New England. We saw what it did to Saquon Barkley last week.
Yeah.
I'm actually shocked. Well, no, never mind. I don't want to spoil that. But long story short, Eckler, I'm coming in lower than the median. I'm at $47 on Austin Eckler.
You and I are at almost the same amount, $43. Austin Eckler. I still want him, and I'll still take him on my team, but I'm not breaking the bank, and I'm not positive he's part of my end game roster. I think he is, but I'm not positive he is. The seventh most chopped player, Houston tight end Dalton Schultz. He'd had a series of good games. People have picked him up off the waiver wire for free, and we're getting great results out of him. And then last week, with an underwhelming performance, despite the fact that C.J. Stroud played really well, the upcoming schedule, particularly tough, Denver and the Jets, and it's at Jets. Those two are not very easy. The median winning bid last week was only $4 on Dalton Schultz. What are you doing here?
Well, I don't want to blow up your spot, but Denver, it's a better matchup than you think. They're actually allowing the most fantasy points per game to tight ends.
Well, that's on the season, though, and the last five or so weeks has been, obviously a totally different team.
Fair enough. I still think he'll be throwable this week, especially in Bye Hard 2. But this was the tight end I was teasing earlier in the show, where the Jets next week, neutral matchup at best. So long story short, you're hoping he's startable this week against Denver, in my mind. Then you drop him next week after what is a good game, hoping someone picks him up. Jets, maybe he has a decent game. Coin flip there. But after that, it's Tennessee, Cleveland, Tennessee for Houston. Cleveland and Tennessee allow the 32nd and the 31st most points to tight ends, fantasy points. So they're the two toughest. Tight end defense.
So they're the toughest. All right. So they got it. So the hardest and the second hardest tight end defenses.
Yes.
So I don't want anything to do with Dalton Schultz, is what you're telling me.
Well, I like the idea of. I still like starting him this week if you need a tight end, and odds are you probably do if you're rolling with Isaiah Likely or T.J. Hockenson, Dalton Kincaid. There are a lot of big name tight ends on bye this week. So I like Schultz this week, and I think even. Again, good game. I'm hoping, banking on a good game. I'm dropping him either way for just someone's going to burn some fab on him. That's probably going to need a tight end. Not a ton, but he's sabotage droppable in my mind. But I want him this week. I'm bidding $10 so I get him to insure it. Right. Assuming I'm desperate, which most people are.
I'm not paying.
Basically, if you don't have Travis Kelce, you're desperate for a tight end this week.
I'm not paying $10 for a 1 week tight end. I'm paying one. So I got a buck on Dalton Schultz. The sixth most chopped player, Cincinnati running back Joe Mixon. God, what a bummer season. Despite getting basically all the work in Cincinnati. Upcoming schedules, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Minnesota. The Minnesota one's particularly hard. The median winning bid last week was $28 on Joe Mixon. Again, another player where earlier in the season, at the beginning of the season, people were paying 10 times as much for Joe Mixon. What's your recommended bid here? Is he part of your endgame strategy?
Oh, he most certainly is not. And he should. I mean, the Bengals are dead in the water right now. Everyone realizes that from a reality football perspective. They're not making the playoffs.
Yep.
Mixon has the fifth hardest remaining strength of schedule. for running backs. And last week on Fantasy Football Weekly, I used Travion Williams as my premature speculation, because what's the point of running Mixon deep, like giving him 80, 90% of the touches anymore? He's at the tail end of his career. Save what little tread is left on his tires. Let's see what Travion Williams can do. You're not starting Mixon. You can't start him with Jake Browning, a quarterback. You can start Jamar Chase, because at least Browning's going to try to throw him the ball. But
with
the
passing, don't you think they'll run a lot to Mixon to try to obviate Jake Browning? I mean, I think, but defenses know that. I think that, to me, it's not a usage question on Joe Mixon. I think he'll get plenty of usage. I just worry that defenses feel like, let's just take away Joe Mixon and make Jake Browning go beat us.
Yeah, he's. However, it works out for Mixon. I'm not wanting him on roster. So I'm at. I hope you're at a dollar on him, because now I'm finally at a dollar, and I don't even want to spend that dollar. But if I have to, it's a dollar for me on Mixon.
$1.
All right.
The fifth most shot player, Philadelphia running back DeAndre Swift. The upcoming schedule is really interesting. He's got San Francisco, which is obviously a very tough matchup against the run. At Dallas and then at Seattle. The median winning bid last week on DeAndre Swift, a still healthy $46. What are you doing with DeAndre Swift?
Yeah, I checked the schedule beyond just to see if they're playing the Giants, and they are in
okay.
week 16 and week 18. So, because we all know Boston Scott just dominates the Giants.
That's
so,
right.
That's almost a bye week.
At least the
week 18 game doesn't matter. Because we don't play that on guillotine leagues. But, yeah, week 16, you got to be worried. So, Boston Scott, remember that, week 16. Someone you want to grab for free, it gets the Giants. But Swift, one of those running backs that will still – Kenneth Gainwell still in the mix, but he's just a change of pace back. I actually had $51 on Swift just because he's the starting running back on an elite offense. It's not the best schedule going forward, but – still arguably the best offensive line in the NFL. Yes, the tush push might steal a touchdown or two or five.
Yeah, that's the thing. So let me jump in here.
This is why
I can't put a big bid on Swift is, sure, I love the 70 yards. I need touchdowns. And it's so – when you're erasing every touchdown from inside the five, that's taking a running back's best and easiest touchdowns away. So I couldn't get myself to over $15 on DeAndre Swift. I don't know if he's part of my endgame roster, because I don't know that I can trust him. I love the fact that he's still getting like 15, 18, 19 touches every game. That part's great. By the way, also, kind of a ticking time bomb on Swift, who'd gotten hurt every year before this. And now here he is getting the biggest workload of his life, and he stayed healthy to this point. Man, if I had to pick one player, if you said, give me one player who's going to get hurt from between here and the rest of the year, that would be the guy I would pick, would be DeAndre Swift.
The way this season's going, I would just say all of them at the exact same time.
Everybody
is going to get hurt. Let's not play that.
Tell me again your bid on Swift.
Now I'm feeling like I went too high again. We both talked to me, but I said 51. I'll stick to my guns. That was before the tush push, but yeah, I'm sticking with it.
All right.
Screw it.
The number four.
What about you? What were you?
I was 15.
15? Okay.
The number four ranked, not four ranked, the fourth most chopped player, Carolina wide receiver Adam Thielen. We'd sort of been waiting for the other shoe to drop with that whole offense as bad as it was. You felt like a dud was potentially coming. Thielen had managed to be the only productive part of a bad offense. The upcoming schedule is at Tampa, which is positive, at Saints, which is bad, and then Atlanta neutral. Median winning bid last week, $13. What are you doing with Adam Thielen, who's been pretty safe up until recently?
Yeah, last week was Thielen's first real dud, and it was a big-time dud. I believe it was one catch for 2 yards since week one. Mm-hmm. But those two duds bookended what had been an awesome season where, you know, his floor was 12 PPR points, and in some games he was giving you 20 plus, sometimes pushing 30. Frank Reich, we were joking about this earlier in the show. Head coach has been fired. He was calling the plays for most of the season, and for most of the season, Thielen was getting just peppered with targets. is that going to continue moving forward? Who knows? Who knows what's going? Who knows if this the Panthers are going to pack it in? I mean, not that they were doing anything anyway. If they're going to rally behind special teams coordinator, interim coach, who knows? I'm not going to pay to. I want to see what's going to happen first. So I'm only at $3 on Thielen.
$5,
which I never thought he'd go that low. I just thought he was going to be so safe all year.
Right, right. But you know,
such a high ceiling.
The other part of it is we're now at a stage of the season where we're not really looking for safe players. You know, those are the guys that got you here. But now at this stage of the season, I need upside players. I got, you know,
yep.
I'm not playing to score 90 points anymore. You know, for two and a half months, 90 points was enough to just keep you alive every week. Now, you know, I saw somebody on my Twitter scored 128 and got chopped. You know, we are now at a stage where, you know, you've got to be 115, 120 points. I don't know if Thielen's that guy. I'm still putting $5 on him because I still think I want him on my roster. I'm still going to have my spots. And maybe this offense gets better now. Who knows? The third most
probably
chopped player.
Startable this week against Tampa Bay, too, with all the buys. I would imagine it'd be tough to keep him on your bench.
True. The third most, and for $5, I'll just start him this week. Maybe that's maybe that's good enough. The third most chopped player, San Francisco tight end George Kittle. The upcoming schedule looks like this. At Philadelphia, which is more positive than people might realize, Seattle, and then at Arizona, which is very positive. The median winning bid last week was $40. Kittle had rolled into last week on a tear, like three straight giant games. What are you doing with George Kittle here?
Yeah, Kittle has epic spike weeks, but he has a lot of duds as well. But he has more spike week potential than not. In the next two of the next three games, like you mentioned. So he's probably definitely startable. And regardless, even if he's not an auto start, because when you're getting into the weeks 16, 17, you know, someone's going to have Travis Kelce. But regardless, you want Kittle on your team, and especially with the two nice matchups in the near future. So I'm at $27 on Kittle, which seems kind of high for a tight end.
25. I'm with you. Well, look, you need to have – if you don't already have one good tight end, you need one. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I think you need two. If anything happens the first one or whatever, you want to play matchups, you know, Kittle's an awfully good alternative. $25, George Kittle. The second most chopped player, Baltimore quarterback Lamar Jackson. Man, how many times are we going to talk about him? I should have looked up how many times he's been on this show. It's got to be similar. Over the past 5 weeks in fantasy points scored, Lamar Jackson is quarterback 21. Oh, he's on bye this week, further complicating this. Rams after that, Jacksonville after that. The median winning bid last week was $20. What are you doing here?
Yeah, Lamar Jackson has one more passing touchdown than Justin Fields, who has played like 7.5 games.
Yeah.
And that includes the Monday night debacle on both sides, at least an offensive debacle. Mm. Lamar Jackson's played 12 full games. He has one more passing touchdown.
Wow.
Than Justin Fields. We were expecting with Todd, don't call me Art Monken, as the new OC, this like air raid, pass-friendly offense, but it's pretty much been the complete opposite of that. They're almost more run-friendly this year than they have been in the past. And with the bye this week, like you said, and he's basically been a dud based on his, you know, his name brand value. I'm only at $22 on Jackson, and he's a guy that historically, you know, mobile quarterbacks, one of the best mobile quarterbacks of all time. He's the type of quarterback we spend up on, but with the bye and just his up and down season, which has been mainly downs from a fantasy perspective, yeah, $23.
$0. I'm letting somebody else play with the fire that is Lamar Jackson, and those dud games are just so tough to take. And, you know, his dud games, they hurt you. You know, especially with on our site, quarterbacks score a little bit more than the other positions. When you get that 8-point outing from your quarterback and the rest of the league is getting 20, it's a killer. I'm not playing with Lamar Jackson at all. Somebody else can decide if they want to go in on that. I don't. And especially particularly with the
bye
week,
right?
What's that?
If he's on this show next week, which good chance he is, if he's on bye, would you be interested in him next week?
Maybe not. It might be a buck. That would be it.
Wow.
The most shot player, Giants running back Saquon Barkley. The upcoming schedule is a bye this week, and then Green Bay and at New Orleans. He was not able to get much of anything going last week, even though Tommy DeVito, was non-awful in his start. Barkley couldn't get anything going. Median winning bid last week. Did I mention that? $49 for Saquon Barkley. What do you think here?
Yeah, bye, and then some tough matchups on the rise. I mean, he'll still command the majority of the touches for the Giants, but despite Tommy DeVito winning back-to-back games and looking somewhat competent, I would just love, by the way, if he takes Daniel Jones' job. Imagine him crawling out of his parents' basement to take the billion-dollar man's.
Hey, it's only a fifth of a billion.
Okay, it shouldn't even be a fraction of a billion. But anyway, bye week for Barkley this week. Tough matchups. The Giants are going to run him into the ground. He's not guaranteed to be back next year, but because of the bye, I'm coming in pretty light. He might be on the show at least next week. So I'm at $10 on Barkley.
Yeah, I went $5. I struggled with this one a lot and asking myself, is Saquon Barkley part of my end game roster? And I decided I don't think he is. I'm asking myself, okay, looking at the schedule, Tommy DeVito starts. Am I gonna really put my playoff run in the hands of a Tommy DeVito led offense? I don't think so. So I leaned.
Yeah, he's more like an emergency option moving forward in the season.
Yeah, I want him on my bench at $5. I'll take Saquon on my bench. I don't want to have to start him if I don't need to. All right, so those are top 10. Let me hit you with some of the cheaper waiver wire guys that you might want to pick up. A couple of bucks, maybe $1 or $2 for these guys. But it also costs you the roster spot. I always feel like that's not in enough consideration here. Jordan Love, are you spending $2 and cutting a player?
Yeah, I am. I said this last week. I think you posed the same question. He's had his down moments, but he's been looking good lately on the Thanksgiving game. He looked great. I don't know if the Packers have been entirely healthy on offense all year. Like, the season started with Christian Watson missing week one. Then Aaron Jones got hurt in week one. And it's just been – and then now Luke Musgrave is hurt. But I don't know. I'm starting to believe in the Packers. I think they could backdoor their way into the playoffs. They're going to have to need a strong showing from Love. So, yeah, I am interested in Jordan Love as a backup option.
Kyler Murray.
Same. I don't like the matchup this week at Pittsburgh. But, again, a guy – it seems like they're just going to let him run around and, have fun for the rest of the season, so why not?
He's got a rushing touchdown in each of the three games so far, which is a little surprising, but he's not passing. He's got two passing touchdowns in the three games, and the passing hasn't looked that good, honestly.
Yeah, a guy we both like, Michael Wilson, he's yet to be able to play with him. Hopefully Wilson can come back. He doesn't really have a big body target outside of Trey McBride. And they might get Zach Ertz back, too, and both will help.
Yeah, if Zach Ertz comes back, it's going to really hurt those Trey McBride owners who have been coasting on him for 5 weeks. Russell Wilson. $2.
Yeah, I mean, he's for a buck or two, why not? I know they're at Houston this week. He could be startable for some teams and, I don't know, comeback player of the year candidate. They don't throw it a ton in Denver, but when he's been throwing, he's been effective.
Yeah, it's low-volume stuff. You have to get the touchdowns. A little bit like Cortland Sutton. He needs to score for you to help your team. Curtis Samuel, $2.
Yeah, why not? Washington always throwing, but I don't know. He's the epitome of a spike week player. You know what? I changed my mind. At this point, he's too risky to even be spending a buck or two on. I don't want him on my team.
Washington,
what about you?
Throwing a league high 41 times per game. So just on sheer volume, Curtis Samuel, but I can't imagine. I don't think there's a spot where I'm going to start him. So I'm a no.
No.
Jaden Reed, Packers.
Yeah. For a buck. Why not? He's Christian Watson is coming on though. Finally, Luke Musgrave hurt, but I think Tucker Kraft just kind of slides right in. I don't think that opens up a ton more targets for Jaden Reed, but Jaden Reed's looked very good. He's been outperforming Romeo Doubs recently, so I'm interested in Reed for a buck or two.
You get a couple of runs out of him a game, too, and some of them are pretty nice-looking runs.
And he returns punts, too. You never know. You might get that little 6-point bonus.
Pat Freiermuth 100-yard game kind of out of nowhere. They barely used him last week in his first game back, well, 2 weeks ago, and then last weekend, the 100-yard game. I assume that's worth $2 because he's a tight end.
Hey, not out of nowhere. He was my take a chance on me wide receiver.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Receiver, I should say, not wide receiver. Yeah, definitely in on Muth. They have Arizona this week, who had actually been a pretty good tight end defense because of Kazir White is their inside linebacker coverage specialist. But he missed last week, and that opened up a big game for Tyler Higbee, who had done nothing all year until last week. Higbee scored a touchdown. And I believe White is missing extended time. So I'm in on Freiermuth either way. But if White is out again this week, it's a borderline A grade for Pat Freiermuth. Again, with all those tight ends we mentioned on bye, Hockenson, Kincaid, Isaiah Likely, list goes on and on. Cole Kmet.
That brings us to Isaiah Likely. So he's on bye. He may be available in some leagues. I don't know if he's available in lots. I think a lot of people picked him up last week, but $2.
Yeah, if he's out there, even though he's on bye, he's worth a stash of $2 for sure.
And then I'm going to hit you with one more tight end name. Juwan Johnson. Mm-hmm. The Saints are without their number one, number two, and number three wide receivers. And Johnson got peppered with a bunch of balls last week, especially down the stretch as all the other receiving options went down. What do you think of him as a sneaky play?
Yeah, for sure. 7 targets last week. And like you said, there's a lot of targets to go around all of a sudden in New Orleans, and he's not your stereotypical tight end either. He's kind of like more like that Isaiah Likely type player. You know, he's really more of a wide receiver. So he's going to be split outside probably a lot in the next week or two. So yeah, I'm in on Likely for Juwan Johnson for $1 or $2.
All right, everybody, we've got one Chop podcast left in this year. It'll be sad. It'll be both great and sad at the same time. If you're still alive and listening next week, that's a great sign, and we'll be happy to help you with your final sort of big bidding week at that point. Thank you for listening, everybody. Talk to you in 1 week.